Well, good morning, church. It's great to see y'all on this moist Sunday morning, I guess we should say. Some people hate that. Do you know that's one of the most hated words in the English language? Moist. It just kind of creeps people out, but it is. It's just one of those things. I probably shouldn't have used it four times there in about a span of 10 seconds. Anyway, it is good to see you all. It's good to be here. It's good to be together. I want to tell you about a couple of things really quick. One, we are thankful to see Myra here. We're thankful that her surgery went well. Many of you have been praying for her and asked about her, so it is good to have her out with us. But we also have some great news. For those of you who weren't around after Sunday, last Sunday, we have a new sister in Christ. Riley Tucker was baptized. Y'all give her a big hand and welcome. Super excited about that. I know she's really happy that I mentioned her name in front of everyone. But anyway, it was a great. I know Jonathan and Heather were both excited, and their families were here, had family members in, and so it was good for them to be able to be a part of that as well. But I wanted to let you know that we have this opportunity to serve some families in our area. We're going to be talking today about families, and I'm going to kind of emphasize why this is important. But the Westwood Middle School Band has this end-of-the-year banquet, and they've traditionally tried to have it in the school cafeteria, but that's small. Like, they can't fit their band members and their families, so what happens is the parents and siblings don't get to come. Or they've tried to have it in other facilities, but then you've got to rent those out, and the cost is prohibitive, so the families are not able to come. So we, in our with some gracious initiative, and some people who are involved in our community, said, you know what, you can have it at our building, you can just use the building for free, and we're going to provide that food so that any and all family members who would like to come, this is going to be a service to you all, to the families in our community, to cut down the catering costs, to cut down on the rental space. And so we are going to be doing that. That is going to be May the 15th, right here in our area. And there are several foods that we need brought, things like brisket and baked potatoes and green beans and some other stuff I can't remember. But we're going to have a list. We're going to put that out. We're going to post it in the back. We're going to put it in our bulletin. We'll send it out in our email. We'll put it up any and everywhere we can. But we need volunteers to make that happen. It's another opportunity to serve those families of our community, and we want you to, if you know of other opportunities for us to act like this, we want to be a part of that. That's who we are as a congregation, and we want to be a part of if anything that furthers and betters the families and parts of our community that we don't normally get to come into contact with. So, that being said, last Sunday was a pretty great family Sunday. Amen? I hope that you had a happy Easter last week, and it was so great to see so much family who had come in. Just a perfect day. You had the kids all dressed up, moms and dads all dressed up, but the kids were all dressed up. You had Easter baskets full of all sorts of plastic eggs and forbidden candy, and there was plenty of room to spread out, and it was nice and cool and this comfortable air conditioning. If you weren't here, it was exactly how it went down. I don't know about y'all. The first thing I did when I left here was get into my Sunday best shorts, T-shirt, and flip-flops because it was time for some ventilation. It was hot in here. Warm. It was just, our air conditioners were like, whoa, 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 what are you doing to us here? We just overloaded them a little bit, but it was good. And that was all good. And so my family and I, we went home, we put on these like comfortable clothes. Fortunately, Easter lunch that we had planned with family was going to finally be casual this year. We finally broke that down until, of course, we showed up and we were the only ones not still wearing Easter Sunday best. Yeah, everybody else was in, brought the colored dresses and suits and ties. And I've got on like a Titans T-shirt that flops. Anyway. Improper attire notwithstanding, with this delicious meal, followed by the ever-popular traditional Easter hashing out of our theological differences. It was lovely. Hope that went well for your family as well. Add to that that I'm feeling guilty because my parents are spending their first Easter in Tennessee, and I sort of abandoned them, and I'm thinking, oh, they're by themselves and everything. And here's the kicker on top of this all, that I am extremely blessed to have a great family. A great family. A family on my side and Rebecca's side. They're great, and I know that. So, like, who am I to complain? And yet I do. What's more, I'll bet that without even knowing all of your families, I'll bet that you all know that family's not without complications, right? If you have family, you have complications. If your parents or your spouse or your children, or it could just be aunts, uncles, nieces, and cousins, you know that family gets complex. Some of you, in fact, have these amazing testimonies about all of the hurdles that you've had to overcome, monumental hurdles, just to be here this Sunday morning, just to arrive at a place where you can be a part of a congregation on Sunday morning. You've had to overcome some major obstacles, and my hats are off to you because I cannot imagine all that you've had to deal with and all you've had to battle with. So if we know from experience, how hard family can be, then why does God place such an emphasis? If family is so hard, if family is so complex, if it gets so complicated, why is it so important to God? What is so important about family? Why would God place us in these close relationships with groups of people who are at least as messed up as we are? Why would He do that to us? Well, and it's been, by the way, it's been this way since the very beginning of time when God placed Eve in the garden with Adam because it wasn't good for him to be alone, right? Even when Cain was punished, and Cain had committed this terrible sin. I mean, he killed his own brother, and then when God confronted him, he got this harsh punishment. But even when the harsh punishment was meted out, was Cain sent off alone? Nope. Cain still had a wife. Later had kids. Even with this harsh punishment, it wasn't alone. Noah, the only righteous man on earth. So did God just save Noah? Nope. God sent Noah on the ark with his family, which could have been a punishment of sorts, depending on where. I don't know. He had his daughters, his wife and his daughters, and his sons-in-law. Abraham was chosen by God because of his righteousness and because of his willingness to follow. He was chosen by God. He was sent away from the only home he'd ever known to this brand new place to found a brand new nation. But he didn't go alone, did he? He went with family. Over and over and over again, we see family playing this vital role in the lives of the people of God throughout Scripture, to the point that when God lays down His law, when God hands out His law, what we've come to call the Ten Commandments, by the way, it is filled with talk about husbands and wives and parents and children. It's just, for instance, let's take the Fifth Commandment. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Or the Seventh Commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Husbands and wives. Or the Tenth Commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male and female servant or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Right? Your neighbor's wife is important to your neighbor. And even though we may overlook it, family is emphasized in the Fourth Commandment regarding the Sabbath laws of working on the Sabbath day. On the seventh day of the week, God says, don't work. Not just you, don't let your sons and daughters work. Don't make your sons and daughters work. Not just your servants, don't even make your children work. Even when we get to those commandments that are dealing with worship, we find that those are family-oriented. So that God says, when you worship me, I will bless you and your sons and daughters to generations, or a thousand generations. Or if you turn aside from worship idols, I'll punish three or four generations of your family. So that when we get all that together, overall we have 10 commandments. And out of those 10 commandments, family, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, out of 10 commandments, family is specifically mentioned in 5 of them, half of them. And that's not even counting thou shalt not kill. I mean, that is half of the commandments that deal with family. So what's going on? Why all this emphasis? Why the great emphasis on family relationships in these commandments? What is God doing here? Well, we need to remember the context a little bit. We need to remember what's kind of going on in these people's world when God speaks this to them. God has just rescued these descendants of Abraham out of Egyptian slavery. And in the process, he has uprooted them from everything they've ever known. Jobs, their homes, their entire way of life has been in upheaval. Now, that's not to say that this is a bad thing. In fact, it's a great thing to be freed out from that burden, that bondage. It really is. But when we as human beings get that first taste of freedom, sometimes we have a tendency to act in completely illogical and crazy ways, right? Does anyone remember what it was like to finally get to drive without mom and dad in the car? There is a reason that insurance is so incredibly high for teenage drivers, right, Steve? I mean, there's a reason that it's not just that they're inexperienced, which they are, and they haven't been in all the situations that older drivers have. It's that they do really stupid things. It's that we do really stupid things. And you don't want to know why we do really stupid things? Because we can. That was my rationale. I'm going to do this because I can do it, and there's no one to tell me not to in the car. But God is trying to build from these newly free slaves a people, a nation that reflects His holiness and His righteousness and His glory to the world. So if these people are running around with their first taste of freedom and destroying their families, how's that going to work? If the basic building block that God employs for building a culture, for building a society, is the home, the family, the household. It's a Hebrew word, bait. Over, if you read throughout, anywhere in the Old Testament, anytime you read out of the Hebrew scriptures, and you see the word house, or household, or family, it's all the same thing. It's not so much the physical structure, like the bricks and the mortar, and the windows and the doors. It's the group of people who are together. And it's not just husbands and wives and kids, mothers and fathers and grandparents, and eventually you get this extended family. It is your family. We talked about this when we were talking about Jesus says, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. How we are being brought into the household of God. We're just a part of that family. And that's what we see in the Old Testament, how they would just add on and build, and you've got a space here. So if this most basic relationship, this basic building block of God's culture creation begins to disintegrate because of unfaithful spouses or because children who neglect their aging parents or because of people who are constantly looking around envy at other people's families and neglecting the duties of their own family, if this happens, or when it happens, God's great plan to redeem the world by showing them who He is, all of that comes apart at the seams. All of God's glory, all of God's holiness, all of God's righteousness gets eclipsed by our shame and our scandal and by petty squabbling. That's what happens, at least, to the nation that God was trying to build then. Husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, these are the basic relationships that we all, those are the foundation of God's culture building. Your family is important to everyone. That's the thing. The way that you treat your spouse, the way that you treat your kids, it's important to your spouse, right? The way you treat your husband or wife, it's important to him or her. I mean, that's really important to them. And it's important to your kids. You can probably see that, how it's important to that they see the way you treat your wife. But it's important to us too. Sometimes have extended families. and churches and even entire communities been rocked by the disintegration of a single marriage. We see the ripple waves that come. One marriage affecting scores of people. Yes, the way that you treat your parents, it's important to your mom. It's important to your dad. It's important. You can even probably see how it's important to your kids because you want them to treat you that way. But it's important to us too. It's the testimony to everyone who knows you, to your friends and to your neighbors and even into the larger community, that you value people more than you value getting more money or getting more possessions or a sweet vacation on the beach. It's a testimony to them how you value the people who love you. But, and this should go without saying, but we're going to say it anyway, your family is not just important to us, it's important to you. And again, that should go without saying, but we live in an increasing culture that values seclusion from relationships, isolation. But the truth is, as evolved as you want to say, or as advanced as mankind has become, we cannot escape that basic truth that God spoke in the Garden of Eden, that it was not good for man to be alone. From the very beginning of time, it's been that way. We were never created to be solitary creatures. And this has implications, by the way, not just for marriage, though that may be the first place we go, but it has implications, especially as we have aging population in our country, doesn't it? It's not good for anyone to be alone. No one should have to go through life alone. And from our vantage point, here's the great irony. From our vantage point, being alone is the only time ever that we get things exactly the way we want them. It's the only time that I get to play exactly what I want on the radio, exactly as loud as I want to play it. It's the only time I get to use my time exactly the way I want to use it for exactly as long as I want to use it, right? It's the only time I get everything exactly my way because there's no give, there's no take. I don't have to give in to anyone else's commands because I'm by myself. My wife and kids go out of town, I'm going to go and get some Wendy's. They don't like Wendy's. I don't care. I don't know. They may like Wendy's. Right? But I get to go. I'm going to go to the Chinese buffet. If they don't like it, I don't care. I'm going to stay up and watch a scary movie at 9 o'clock. It's too late to watch a scary movie. Nope, I don't care. I'm watching it. Right? But living without that interaction, without that back and forth, that compromise that relationships necessitate, living without that somehow robs us of our humanity. It doesn't make us more human, it makes us less human. Being formed in the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were created as communal beings, community beings. We were created by a community to be a community. So your family, your mother, your father, your sons, your daughters, your sisters, even your annoying brother, those people, they are important into what makes you a human being. When families function as families ought to function, when there's love and support and there's correction and there's encouragement, there's this give and this take, we get what we need to get to be a better human being. That's the way it was designed. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the importance and reason God places that great emphasis. Yes, He was building a people, a nation, a culture. He was trying to build a testimony, a witness to the world of what God's nature was like. And God has never been solitary, and so He doesn't make lift up one person and say, just this, don't forget, don't worry about these other people. Even when God came in human, Jesus, did Jesus live in solitaire? No. He lived in close community with a bunch of messed up guys. Why? Because that's who God is, communal being. So it should therefore come as no surprise that when God begins building a new community to reflect His glory, Israel in the New Testament, that the way He describes our relationships is almost exclusively in family terms. Called brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Jesus has referred us to the bridegroom. We are called, as a group, we are called the bride of Christ. Called the sons and daughters of the Father, and Christ is sometimes called our brother. But if you come from a family, if you live in a family, or you come from a family where husbands and wives are unfaithful, where children are neglected or abused, or where parents are not honored, then using terms like calling us the family of God may not be helpful. In fact, it could even be a deterrent to a relationship with Christ. If you think, why would I want to be a part of a family? Being part of a family right now stinks. And when God calls Himself Father, you may think back and your image of Father may not be a very positive one. Why would I want another Father? So even when we get to the New Testament, we still see all sorts of instructions regarding the family. Even in this new society, we get instructions like, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and laid Himself down for her. Wives, submit to your husbands in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. Fathers, do not exasperate your children or do not provoke your children to wrath. These basic relationships are still supposed to be the models of behavior for the community of believers. You're still supposed to learn how to be a human being that relates to our community out of your family. That's the way it's supposed to work. And remember, that these basic family relationships, they're training you how to be a human being. And so it affects you. It affects, obviously, the immediate family you come from, but it affects us, too, us. And we get back to what's the Ten Commandments doing to us? Because remember that these Ten Commandments are shaping us to be a community that loves and serves and worships God. It's shaping us to be a people who honor and care for our families and shaping us to be the people who ensure justice for our fellow man. That's who we, as the Forest Mill Church Christ, that is who we are, who we aspire to be. So we still need your family, but here is the hard part. The part is that we're also called to be your family. And that's not always easy. We need to provide you with a place and a space where you can be loved and supported, where you can be encouraged and corrected, where you can experience the give and take that's built into a family. We need that. You don't need more casual relationships. You don't need anyone else to talk about your hobby with. You don't need anybody necessarily to talk about who's your favorite sports team. You can pick that up at the grocery store. My goodness. I've had conversations in the checkout line that are more in-depth than some I get to have on Sunday mornings. Most every day, my kids will tell you this, most every day that I see them in the afternoons, I ask them the time-honored question, how was your day? Most of the time, I get the time-honored answer. Church, what is that answer? Fine. That's right. Occasionally, I scrape a little more. Pretty good. Just this week, I had a conversation with someone from this congregation who pointed out how hard it is to honestly answer the simple question, how are you? And I said that question a good half dozen times this morning. I was asked that question. I know I heard it many more. How are you? Can you imagine if we honestly answer that question every time somebody asks? How are you? Well, I'm not eating as healthy as I ought to, so I feel a little sluggish, and my stomach has been bothering me something awful. Now, that may be an honest answer. That's not what I was like. I'm looking for fine. How are you? Well, I had to get the car fixed. Right now, I'm afraid I'm going to run out of money before I run out of months. Right? But that's not the answer. I was looking for good. How are you? Well, kids struggling at school. My kids being bullied at school. I don't know how to deal with it. How are you? Well, my marriage is struggling. I don't know how to fix it. We don't give those answers. Somebody says, how are you? We may say fine. We may say good. Or if we're having a bad day, we may say, oh, pretty good. I mean, that's as much as you're going to get. We usually don't answer that question as honestly as we need to, but it's a social convention, right? I mean, it's just like saying hi or hello. It's just how you're supposed to say fine. But we still need a place to really answer that question. That's the problem. We still really need to answer that. We need some space, some time, some family of people who really know for really real what is going on with us. And they can love us and support us through that. So we have got to be a family. I don't know, I saw this just last night. Aaron Moran passed away. And for those of you who are at least my age, remember her. She was Joni on Happy Days. Aaron Moran, she was 56 years old. Had a pretty tragic life after that series. Nish never really was able to put anything together. The latest public thing from her was that she was kicked out of her trailer park in Indiana for having too many wild parties. Her life had sort of led her. She died last night at the age of 56, and they were playing this interview. They were asking her about her time spent on Happy Days. And she said, those people were my family. You know, real family. She lived day in and day out with those people who were no blood relation to her, who did not know her from the time she was born until she came on the show, didn't know anything else about them. But over the course of spending that time with her, those became to her real family. And so that when the show ended, it was like she was cut loose from family and without those ties, without the family ties that she desperately needed, and went into something like a depression. Even when she was given her own show, you may remember Joni Loves Chachi. Probably not. It was short-lived. Only lasted one season. She hated it because it wasn't with her family, her bigger family. Now, some of you may already be in relationships that are like this. You may have brothers and sisters in Christ or friends, or even, if you're really blessed, you may even have your biological family who have provided you with every opportunity to be as transparent as you need to be, or at least as transparent as you'd like to be. But many of us, and I would even say perhaps most of us, still need those sorts of relationships. So to that end, this is kind of a big one. To that end, we at Forest Mill are working towards building a small ministry, and we greatly desire your input. When these groups will meet, what they will be comprised of, how long they will be, how long they will last, when they'll end, all of this, how they'll work, how they'll function, we want your input. And so in 2 weeks, on May the 7th, we're going to have a very brief meeting. By brief, I mean like 30 after worship. We usually probably in around 11:30 in the cafeteria, we're going to meet, and we want to find out your interest and your desires, what you would like to see out of a ministry like that. You are invited to come, and family lunch will not be provided, but you're welcome to go eat afterwards. We're not going to stay that long. It's just going to be really brief. We want to be a more functioning family that we need to be. And I want to tell you this. I am so thankful for Forest Mill. It has been a year since I came here. Somebody pointed that out to me just the other day that I've been here. And in that time, I cannot tell you how frequently I remind myself what a blessing it is to be here. To work with you, to see your kids growing and reproducing themselves, I think. I don't know. It just seems like they multiply. To watch as this congregation it's an amazing thing. But that's not to say that we don't need anywhere to go. And one of the needs that we desperately have is to build stronger community relationships. Some of you for a long time, you may be set. You may have your group of people, and you can sit down and you can honestly talk about your marriage, the way that your kids, your relationship is. You may be able to do all that. I don't know. But I know for certain that many are not. And so we are going to be intentional about building that kind of community. And if you have been struggling with your family, if you need prayers and you want to do that publicly, you're welcome to come forward at this time. But we want to be a congregation who supports you, supports your family. And if there's any way we can do that, just let us know. Or if you can't, if you need, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing.